Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure, especially on special days like the 4th of July, the day that our nation officially, and actually I shouldn't say officially, because officially the day we should celebrate, if we're doing it officially, is July 2nd, because that's the day that the Continental Congress actually approved the Declaration of Independence, but it actually didn't become, from a practical matter, it actually happened on the 4th of July, and so that's the date that we have. And it's a big day in America. In my opinion, it's a big day in the world. And I want to talk a little bit about somebody that made this day, he'd already been doing some things to make this day such a big event, and he wound up doing more and more to make this day a great event, and that's the first president of the United States, General Washington, soon to become President Washington. A year before, he'd taken command of the Continental Army, and I think it was in July of 1775, General Washington did, and he did so many things for this nation. There's so many things that he did that probably most of us don't know about. And we've got somebody named Dennis Pogue who's going to be with us, actually who is with us now. He's Associate Director for Preservation at Mount Vernon. Dennis is going to join us to talk to us a little bit about the father of America. Dennis, are you there?
I am, Jim.
How you doing? It's good to talk to you.
Doing quite well. Glad to be here.
Welcome to the show. And, Dennis, we've been talking about many of the founders today as we celebrate the 4th of July, and of course you can't have too long of a conversation about the founders of America without talking about the father of our nation, the first president, the first general of our Continental Army, and such an important person in the lives of all Americans, and that's Mr. Washington.
Absolutely, he was the indispensable man.
Well, he certainly was, and you know, he took over, as you know very well. General Washington took over the Continental Army in 1775, and you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but he fought 9 battles. You know, I was talking to somebody about all of the different efforts in the military. To win, it's not always about having the biggest army or the best army. A lot of times, it's just about who has the most desire. And General Washington, according to my research, Dennis, fought 9 battles during the Revolutionary War, and he only won 3 of them.
Well, that's right. So it shows you that not only is it desire, but it's stick-to-itiveness, you know, is that ability to hang in there even when the cards are stacked against you and keep on going.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there was a time, I've read some of his accounts during the winters, especially in one of the really tough winters there that he had during the war, when he was in a lot of despair over whether he even thought they were going to make it or not. He actually didn't see how they were going to make it.
He really was in so many positions like that, where it was up to him really to make these things go forward. It's just amazing to think where we would be today if he hadn't been the one in charge at that time.
But see, he would argue with you about that, Dennis. But I agree with you. But he would take issue with you because he actually wrote about how he marveled at the men who followed him.
Well, that's true.
He would give them the credit, wouldn't he?
Well, I think so, absolutely, and you know, it was a much larger effort. But when it got right down to it, for many years there, it was a very small group of individuals who held together to make this work.
Well, and he did a number of things. He was able to see potential in people, and I know he saw the potential in a young man named Hamilton.
He did. He was very close to Hamilton. Hamilton served on his staff. Actually, they had a falling out at one point,
right.
And their relationship suffered a little bit. But that didn't mean that Washington wasn't fully prepared to bring him back, and of course, he served a major role in his administration.
Well, and he was also the major speechwriter for the general.
He
and
was.
The president.
He was. He served a major
Hamilton.
Role in that way as well.
Yeah. What would you like for? Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break in a few seconds, and when we come back, I want you to tell us what you would like for us to know about General about Citizen Washington and General Washington and President Washington. And folks, I have some information about from his last speech, from his farewell speech in 1796. And when we come back, I'm going to read that. And then we're going to get Dennis to tell us a little bit about what he wants us to know about the father of our nation, America. Happy 4th of July. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Dennis Polk.
I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe, maybe she's in me.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, celebrating our 9th 4th of July, doing the show, the Small Business Advocate Show. We're in our 9th year, and this is my 9th consecutive 4th of July celebration, live production of our show. Folks, on September the 19th, 1796, in his farewell address to the people, after having declined to serve a third term as president, he was actually begged to serve a third term as president. George Washington chose not to because he knew that that there was an opportunity to put him on a pedestal beyond which he felt he should go. And he knew that they had fought for a long, hard, bitter war to create this experiment in order to rid themselves of kings and the kind of monarchy, and he was, I think he probably feared that the presidency could turn into something like that. So he chose only to serve two terms, and precedent survived for a long, long time until it actually became law. But when in that speech, in his farewell speech on September 19th, 1796, President Washington gave us a name, he gave us a distinction, and he gave us a bond. And here's what he said. The name American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism. You have in a common cause fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint counsels and joint efforts, of common dangers, sufferings, and successes, end quote. Dennis Polk, those were brilliant words spoken, even though Hamilton may have wrote them, they came from the heart of President Washington.
Well, absolutely. And for years, scholars have suggested that Washington really was kind of the mouthpiece, and, you know, that those words really didn't come from his heart, and I think that that's absolutely false.
I agree.
Even though Hamilton was a much better writer than Washington, and could make his language flow much more nicely. It was really Washington's sentiments that Hamilton was expressing.
Well, anybody knows that when people like Washington, when presidents have speechwriters, those speechwriters collaborate very closely with their bosses.
Well, they do, and Washington had many of them, and Thomas Jefferson and Madison and various others were involved in that as well. But the thing was that Washington was at the center, and he was
right.
The one who approved all of that, and it was really his ideas that these folks were expressing for him.
What would you like for us to know about President Washington that we might not know?
Well, I think that one thing is that, you know, he wasn't perfect. People have a very cardboard view of Washington, I think, today, because the things that we talk about, his presidency and his role during the Revolutionary War, are so exemplary that folks tend to forget that he was a man, and he made mistakes during his lifetime.
Yeah.
But he learned from those mistakes, and he was a lifelong learner, and he was committed to improving himself. And so, you know, he's somebody that we all can look up to and really make connection with. You know, none of us are perfect. Washington certainly was not. But then we can see what he accomplished and all the great things that he was able to do.
Well, he was a warrior. he was a very courageous warrior, wasn't he? I mean, and we know he was a leader. We know he was a general, although maybe not the greatest general in history. He somehow managed to win the most important war that he fought. But he had been a warrior for a long time before the Revolutionary War, hadn't he?
His character was just so solid. He had such fortitude. And yes, he was a warrior. Many Americans forget the fact that he served in the French and Indian War on the side of the British, of course, in the 1750s. And for several years there, actually, he was hoping that he could get a commission in the British Army. He wanted to serve in the military for the rest of his life. That didn't work out for him. And
I understand his mother put the kibosh on that.
Well, actually, that was even earlier. As a teenager, he was interested in going into the British Navy, and his mother told him that she thought that was not a good idea, and he followed along with her wishes. Mm-hmm. And then it was actually several years later, after he had his experience with the Virginia Regiment, he served as the leader of the Virginia Regiment on the side of the British, that he was interested in joining the British Army, and that didn't work out either.
Right. Well, he was a tall person. He was an imposing figure for the time, wasn't he?
He was. From direct measurement, he was 6 feet, 2.5 inches, weighed about 190 pounds as a young man, and like most of us, he got a little bit broader as he got older.
we won't go there for long, though, Dennis.
Absolutely. And he was very imposing. He was somebody who dominated a room when he walked in. He stood heads above most of his contemporaries.
Well, yeah, people in those days weren't the size of most Americans today.
Absolutely.
6'2" made him a giant for the time, didn't it?
He would have been a power forward, if not a center, for them at that time.
For the revolutionary basketball team, is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Power forward, I'm sure.
I got you. What do we need to know about President Washington's presidency? You know, we know a lot about his history, about prior to being a president, but I think most of us don't know much about what's going on, what happened during the 8 years he was president.
Sure. Well, first of all, a lot of us, many people assume that because Washington was who he was, and he was elected unanimously, after all, to serve as president, that the 8 years of his office, were not very controversial, that people basically went along with his policies and we moved forward in that way. But in fact, it was the opposite. The second 4 years of his presidency were incredibly controversial, and there were all sorts of issues relating to our relationship with the British versus the French.
So the second
term, how we were going to get along in the world.
The second term difficulties of presidents went all the way back to the first president, didn't it?
He set the precedent in so many ways, and that was one of them.
Absolutely. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dennis Polk. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about President Washington's presidency and what's happening at Mount Vernon today. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Dennis Polk, Associate Director for Preservation at Mount Vernon, the home of our nation's first president, the father of our nation, General President Washington, George Washington, one of the most important figures in the history of our country and the history, really, of freedom around the world. Dennis, what's happening? Tell us. I want to get back to the president in a minute, his presidency, but what's happening at Mount Vernon today?
Well, it's a big day. Of course, July 4th is very special for us here. We have a whole variety of activities. We'll have some reenactors reenacting the 1st Maryland Regiment, the 1st Virginia Regiment, so you can come out and see some Revolutionary War soldiers. We've got a lot of music here. We've got a red, white, and blue concert by the National Concert Band of America. And, of course, we have a special wreath-laying ceremony at Washington's tomb where folks can come and pay their respects to the president.
Right. Well, that's great that you're doing all that. The estate at one time was 8,000 acres, 5 different farms. It's a little smaller now, though, isn't it?
It is. We have about 500 acres today, and that acreage surrounds the house. It was what Washington called the Mansion House Farm, so that's where he lived, and the servants who supported the mansion, about 90 enslaved workers would have lived there. Mm-hmm. And then the surrounding farms were where the crops were grown. So there were slaves working out there growing tobacco early on, and then later on wheat, because Washington became a wheat farmer in the 1760s.
Now, many people might not know this, but he inherited the farm, the Mount Vernon property, from his family. But he really became one of the wealthiest Americans when he married. Didn't he?
Well, he did. You know, my mom told me when I was a young man, Dennis, it's up to you. You can fall in love with a rich woman or a poor woman. I made the wrong choice, but George Washington made the right one. Martha Washington was one of the wealthiest widows in Virginia at the time and brought about 30,000 pounds sterling into the marriage, which was a small fortune at the time. So that's really what enabled Washington to expand the plantation.
They gave him the capital, didn't it? He had the land. He needed the capital to grow.
He needed the capital, exactly.
And small business owners understand that, don't we, small business owners? Well, let's get back to his presidency. You were talking about the second term was pretty controversial. In what way?
Well, you know, at that time, the United States was trying to find its way in the world. And we had some issues there, some baggage. Of course, we just fought the British for our freedom. And the French were our great allies during that war. So a lot of Americans, Thomas Jefferson among them, felt that we should cast our lot with the French.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who came to our support, and
right.
We should support them. Washington took a broader view and felt that that would be a huge mistake, that for the country to survive, we needed to plot our own course and that we needed to keep away from getting entangled in European affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just simply going along with the French, Washington supported neutrality and tried to keep us sort of balanced between the French and the British, which, of course, were the two superpowers of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington felt that whichever side we chose to go in on, if we did, in the long run, it would be bad for us. And so that was very controversial, and there were a lot of issues, a lot of events that took off from that Washington had to fight his way through.
One of the important things that happened, and I'm pretty sure it happened on his watch, was the forgiveness of debt, the assumption of debt by the colonies, from the colonies by the federal government.
That was Alexander Hamilton's plan.
It was his idea, but it happened during President Washington's term, didn't it?
It certainly did, and it was a very controversial idea.
Explain the importance of this.
Well, what Hamilton was all about was trying to establish, you know, the economic financial basis for the country, and he had a very extensive plan. He wanted to create a Bank of the United States
which
would create, you know, credit, which would allow businessmen to be able to more effectively do their jobs. And one of the issues that he was facing was the fact that the 13 states now, who, of course, had been colonies, all had their own financial issues.
Right.
Some of them were deeply in debt. Others were not.
To fight the war.
To fight the war, exactly.
Right.
And so what Hamilton conceived was an idea that the federal government would take over that debt.
Right.
And by doing that, it would free up the individual states, number one. And, of course, what that meant was that the government was taking on debt, which a lot of people saw as just a terrible thing.
Right.
But Hamilton realized that that was the role of the federal government.
It was a way of forging some unity among the colonists with the federal government. Dennis, we now that we found you, we're not going to let you get away. You've got so many more things to talk to us about. Next time you join us, I want you to talk to us about George Washington as an entrepreneur.
That would be great.
Have a great 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, Dennis. Thank you for being here, and a good job.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
Dennis Pogue, ladies and gentlemen, with the Mount Vernon organization. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, wishing you, wherever you are in the world, happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, America. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.